In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
I'm a black man in a white man, in a white man suit. So, you know, growing up in Jamaica was interesting because I really thought I was black, basically. I mean, it is, we still get this whole thing, this cliche question, you know, how come you're Jamaican and you're white? And I just keep referring people to the fact that our coat of arms says very clearly, out of many, one people.
Out of many, one people. Pretty much the mantra across Jamaican society, but more so for someone officially entrusted with representing the Caribbean country overseas. This is Here Now with me, Kadambri Raghukumar, and today I'm in the South Island. Dave Phillips has made the time to talk to me in the middle of something very important to him on a Thursday afternoon here in Nelson, where he's been on a mission to both break some and proudly uphold some cliches about being Jamaican.
There's lots of them. I mean, you're permanently smoking weed. You're going to be late for every appointment. I lost a contract when I was working for my father because I was 5 minutes late for an appointment. It was an airport contract to do with aircraft maintenance in Miami International. And by the time I had got back in my car, they had called the Kingston office and said that you can't be 5 minutes late for an aircraft. And I think I learned a very important message at that time.
And he definitely can't keep this crew waiting. I'm sat at a table watching some very serious dominoes players here who gather every Thursday at this pub in downtown Nelson. So Dave Phillips, the honorary consul of Jamaica here in New Zealand, and he's on his second tenure actually. Aside from all his other duties, being a cultural ambassador is something he takes very seriously.
How's your game going?
We're having a blast. It's a special game where you manage to win even if you lose.
we have quite a loyal following. Sometimes there's too many, but to introduce the variety of people. So this is Vance. Where are you from, Vance?
I'm from Tennessee.
Yeah, and Vance is a domino player.
I am. I'm from Tennessee.
The Jamaicans did it.
All right. What say you? Going on. That's one.
This became a home for us to make sure that every Thursday we have a round table reserved for us. I have the benefit of seeing my siblings every Thursday guaranteed, and then we've also collected a rather interesting group of people from all over the world that we have taught the game of dominoes to, which is a passport to in the Caribbean, Central and South America. There's a lot of culture that goes with it. I mean, you know, I spent a lot of 34 years in Miami, and if I took you to Calle Ocho, to 8th Street, and you saw 150 Cuban men with cigars playing dominoes on a Sunday, you'd understand how deeply seated this is in the DNA. And it's the same thing with Jamaica. No matter where you go, there's a domino game under a mango tree or on a beach. And it is something that brings people together. Food, culture, music, and a good time. And we don't gamble either with dominoes. So it's just a very unique pastime and very addictive. We've been playing since we were children.
There aren't more than a handful of Jamaicans in Nelson, Dave's family being pretty much all of them. But he tells me that the community numbers about 500 across New Zealand, and that's significantly more than the numbers when he first arrived here.
My brother and I emigrated in 2007 and 2008, respectively. Our eldest sister, Carolyn, she came first about 25 years ago. And, you know, they had arrived with their two girls from after living in Jamaica and Cayman. They went back to England and went, no, we can't do this. And they rented their house and moved to New Zealand and drove around in a camper van. And then they stopped in Nelson. They went, this is it. You know, this is where we want to be. And that's how the family kind of shifted over to the Antipodes. So. And upon her 50th birthday, her husband organized a surprise party and invited all the relatives and the siblings from all over the world to come and surprise her. And sitting out in they live out in Delaware Bay, right on the water, and sitting out there looking across the beauty of New Zealand, we went, hold on a second, this is something to consider relocating. And she kind of told us that it was always that temperature in February all year round, I think so, because she wanted her brothers and sisters to come. So, you know, we moved.
Never was a bigger lighthouse.
Big, yeah. Yeah, that definitely. But packed up our children. In my case, I packed up children and four dogs and a cat and moved to Nelson.
Even as recently as 2008, things were pretty different for a Jamaican living in Nelson. So setting up a food import business was as much a personal need as it was a business plan for Dave.
Well, when I got here, it was about promoting the culture. So because we had started to represent these food lines out of Jamaica, we were very busy doing food shows, big festivals. We put on a lot. We cooked for thousands of people. We put on reggae festival, music festivals. So I was a bit young at the time, had that energy to do that, and it was necessary to introduce our culture through food. And of course, the music was already a medium which Kiwis had already adopted. I mean, you know, people still talk about Bob Marley's, visit in 1979. So very popular culture, very popular brand, but we had to actually cook and be able to put food in people's mouths. I was making a rum punch for the family, and nobody, this is in 2006 when I was visiting, before we immigrated, and honestly, nobody really knew what a lime was. I'm telling you, it is hard to believe. Really? You could not buy limes in Nelson. They didn't exist. And of course, with the accent, it was like, I go, limes, mate, limes. You know, like, you know. And I had to, I remember couriering limes from Auckland to make a rum punch, because I was not making a Jamaican rum punch
with
Rare Navy overproof rum with lemons. I just couldn't. I mean, I would be shot. You know, so I planted 200 lime trees, and we had a poly house with about 150 to 200 Scotch bonnets.
So between growing those notorious Scotch bonnet chilies, a Domino's community, and purveying all manner of hot sauce and rum, Dave's life as the honorary consul here pretty much revolves around representing the flavor profile of Jamaica through food.
It's surface on a level, but it's still a very powerful message. It's a way of sharing. Food is a passport. Food is the equalizer. When you're brought into a culture, the first thing you will do is share food. I mean, you know, we all know this. This is not a new concept.
Jamaica's one melting pot of ethnicities, including Indian, Chinese, and British. And while Dave may not appear to be what many people would think of as Jamaican, in many ways it makes him take the role of explaining Jamaica's diversity to people here very seriously.
Being a white Jamaican brings brings a lot of nuances to it. You know, on one hand, we don't have to deal with the prejudices from, you know, visually, you know, so we can fly under the radar. Until you open your mouth, but we're three generations born there. We were born there. My parents, their parents, and fiercely grew up Jamaica and never felt like we didn't belong there until I went to school in England. I went to boarding school in England for 3 years. That was a culture shock. And even in Jamaica, it works in the reverse. So if I happen to be in a tourist area and I'm walking up to a bar to get a red stripe, you know, a bartender is going to see me coming and assume that I'm American, you know, that I'm Bill Clinton coming over, and I'm saying, you know, hey, man, give me a patty and a red stripe. And and then all of a sudden the guy just drops on the ground laughing, because it's like, oh, you're Dave, man, you're a yard man, yeah, you know, you're one of us. All my life being stuck in immigration things, getting questioned as a white Jamaican, you know, where was I going? I fit a certain picture of being a drug don or something, because I was a white Jamaican and I had a little, you know.
Yeah, but you would fit that profile.
I totally did.
But Dave's had a life that's taken him across a few different realities, particularly when it comes to race and the experience of being the other.
Well, you know, my whole career out of Miami was traveling to small Caribbean islands. And I did learn one thing, that as sweet as people are in small places, there's also a very, very, very sharp edge to that sword. That there's also, you know, a lot of, it can be quite brutal. And coming to New Zealand, I came here with a very, you know, clear, I guess we had been seriously marketed by our sister too, that, you know, this country, the one thing that stands out the most is that on the surface, it stands out as being very egalitarian, extremely green, and we know that marketing has been incredibly successful. When you move here, there are realities that are, and I'm not putting the country down, it's not perfect, it's a country, and we're people, they're people. But there is definitely an underlying racism in this country that is a lot more acute than most people will. I have been doing a little research, and I'm very interested in it, because I find it's just so deeply rooted. And kind of like England originally, it's kept under the rug. It's not a surface, not acknowledged on the surface, but it's there. It is definitely there. And for me, I'm in the fortunate position where I can kind of float under that. I can fly under that radar because I'm white, because I don't look like I'm Jamaican or from the Caribbean. But I feel it. I feel it very deeply. So.
For Jamaican Dave, as he's come to be known, going beyond borders is what it's all about, with his love for Caribbean food, Domino's, and bringing community together all the way here in Nelson.
You know, it's a passion, and it's a passion for food and flavor. And with that goes a whole way of life and an attitude. So you're not just selling the food, it's a culture that goes with it. It's about good times, about hugging, it's about being demonstrative. It's about listening to good music, and it's very positive. It's positive vibrations, to quote Bob, the Honourable. You know, it is definitely, that's why it's such a popular and powerful little culture for a little teeny island. I mean, it's only 126 miles wide. It's tiny, you know, with less than 3 million people, but it
packs a punch.
It packs a punch.
Dave Phillips, the Honorary Consul of Jamaica, talking to me in Nelson. My name is Kadambri Ragukumar, and every week I bring you stories from all across New Zealand about people from all around the world who live here. You can follow Here Now on all your favourite podcast platforms, and you can also find us on the RNZ website. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.